Veckans power deal hos Vedol. Husqvarna. Missa inte batteridrivna motorkapen K1 Pace från marknadsledaren Husqvarna. Samma prestanda som bensindrivna modeller och med unika X-halt kastskydd. Så den här veckan, välj Husqvarna hos Vedol.
Hej kära ASMR-hater. Jag skulle bara vilja meddela att jag är jävligt trött på människor som hatar på ASMR-videor. Bara för att de inte förstår sig på det. Och att ingen vettig människa skulle vilja lyssna på det. ASMR är en fantastisk, lugnande sak som personligen motverkar min ångest och stress. Sen skulle ju ni förstås veta om att inte alla som gillar ASMR gillar alla former av ASMR. Men det skulle ni veta ifall ni gjort mer research och respekterar oss som tycker om det. Väldigt många känner redan skam för att de gillar ASMR. Och det är ju inte så att människor som hatar på det hjälper den skammen. Se till att ni kan mer om ett ämne nästa gång ni pratar om det. Med respekt. Ja, det där var ett mejl som du och jag fick in i vår inkorg i oktober för ett år sedan ungefär.
Oktober 2019, efter att vi hade gjort ett avsnitt om, jag minns inte ens vad vi pratade om, men ASMR var väl involverat i alla fall.
Det kan ha varit så att vi rantade om ASMR och förklarade hur idiotiskt vi tyckte att det var. Det kan ha varit så att vi sa någonting om att vi inte förstår oss på människor som gillar det.
Mm-mm.
Det kan vara så att allt i det här mejlet stämmer.
Absolut, det tror jag. Och vi får ju generellt väldigt lite kritik till den här podden. Och jag tror att vi skulle göra oss, eller vi har nog gjort oss förtjänt av mer kritik än vad vi faktiskt får. Men vi tackar så gott för att ni låter oss sitta på våra höga hästar här i den här podden. Men det här är ju, ASMR-snacket har ju genererat ungefär lika hård kritik som de gånger vi har sagt att folk som relaterar till Gryffindor är personlighetslösa.
Jag skulle ändå vilja påstå att det ligger någonstans där. Topp tre, Gryffindor har ingen personlighet, jag hatar Dobby, och så är det ASMR som är det som har ruskat om nationen.
Mm. Och vi beskriver ju oss ofta som Sveriges sämsta folkbildare. Det vill säga, vi tycker att vi vet saker eftersom vi precis har googlat fram dem. We really know nothing. Men vi är ganska bra på att sprida kunskapen som vi hittar i alla fall.
Jag tycker att ett keyword i den där meningen är, vi tycker att vi vet saker.
Vi tycker bara saker.
Vi tycker, ja,
och
precis.
Vi tycker att ni också ska tycka det.
Ja, alternative facts skulle Trump kunna påstå.
Precis, fast vi sitter på rätt fakta då.
Ja,
vi är
precis.
Alt-right.
Vi är det enda alternativet för er. Så vad roligt det blir nu då, för att nu ska vi prata om ASMR igen.
Och inte bara då ur vårt lite snäva, trångsynta, oupplysta perspektiv, utan faktiskt ASMR. För det här avsnittet är nämligen sponsrat. Vi tackar så mycket ArkDes, museet för arkitektur och design som ligger på Skeppsholmen i Stockholm, som just nu har utställningen Konstig känsla känns bra, som är en utställning som helt och hållet handlar om ASMR.
Världens första utställning som handlar om ASMR, för att tala klarspråk. Och vi har med oss deras kurator James Taylor Foster med i samtal med oss om en liten stund.
Vi har ju varit där. Vi var ju där i veckan för att bara veta vad det är vi ska prata om. Och jag ska ärligt säga att jag är fortfarande inte en människa som uppskattar ASMR. I alla fall den ASMR som är den breda, alltså det som folk generellt tänker på när man tänker ASMR. Alltså viskande röster på YouTube. Eller typ så här, nu ska jag prassla med godispapper. Så ja, det gör ingenting för mig. Men det var så jäkla spännande att bara gå runt i den här installationen och lyssna på de olika grejerna. Och jag vet inte med dig, men jag kastade ju av mig hörlurarna när det var någon som typ viskade, medan en video om regn som bara pågick i typ 8 minuter, den satt jag och tittade på 2 gånger om.
Jag satt och tittade på en video som var kanske 15 minuter lång, som gick ut på att 2 små hundar blev badade och klippta med det här ljudet då i djupt in i mina öron, och tyckte att det var toppen, trots att jag tycker att djurvideos är, alltså det är så basic så att det går liksom inte ens att beskriva.
Den var rolig, för att den var som att jag satt och kollade på den, men att jag fick också lite obehagskänslor, för att hundarna, det såg ut som att de frös i badet. Att de kanske så här, de stod och skakade lite, och vissa hundar är ju bara skakiga, och det kanske var det de var. Eller så, och då tänkte jag med att så här, det är klart att det är varmt vatten, skulle aldrig bada hundar i kallvatten liksom. Men tänk så här, när man har stått, när man har legat i badet ett tag och delen som är ovanför vatten börjar frysa.
Ja, precis. Man har några tår som sticker upp. Exakt. Ur badet, och de blir kalla. Ja, jo, men precis. Det var bara en av alla videor som finns på den utställningen. Men det var i alla fall en favorit för mig. Regnet var din.
Regnet var min absoluta. Men jag satt också, jag ville titta på en video som var bredvid. Och det finns ju bara ett par lurar till varje skärm. Jag vet inte om det är corona-anpassat eller om det bara är att du ska få din lilla stund för dig själv. Och så kan man ligga på en lång stoppad korv.
Alltså inte en korv, det är inte Gagas köttklänning som har gjort comeback, utan det är som en lång tarmliknande skapelse som täcker väggarna,
en
som man kan sitta på.
Eller vad heter det? En
jättestor, ja precis, som en jättestor, lång, smal saccosäck.
Exakt.
Sitter man i, som prasslar lite grann när man sätter sig ner och tittar på de här videosarna. Jag tyckte det var så himla intressant att gå och titta på det, just eftersom jag hade en uppfattning om ASMR, och där så fick det mig att fundera lite mer på det. Jag tänker ju också att ASMR är viskningar, vilket jag tycker är fruktansvärt. Jag vill inte lyssna på det. Jag tycker inte att det är härligt. Jag tycker liksom att det går in i märg och ben för mig, vilket är en legitim reaktion. Det är det som är det roliga med ASMR också, att det är så här, du kan antingen få ett djupt välbehag, du kan vara helt oberörd, och du kan bli i princip äcklad.
Ja, vi har ju lärt oss mycket av det här också. Och det ska bli så kul att snacka med James om det också. För att jag tänkte att det var så här, det här är ASMR och det är den här boxen av saker. Och antingen gillar du eller så gillar du inte. Det är som koriander. Antingen är du ett fan eller så är du inte det. Men så var man där och det var liksom 30 olika videos. Och det var allt ifrån viskande tjej till artisten Björk när hon var ung, när hon skulle förklara hur en TV funkar.
Ja,
och att människor på internet bara, jag vet inte vad det är som händer, men jag mår väldigt bra av att lyssna på henne när hon pratar. Målaren Bob Ross som målar tavlor, och det var, vissa var bara filmer på typ animerade grejer som rör sig, och det var jättebehagligt att titta på.
Ja, otroligt spännande.
Så med det sagt, ska vi välkomna James in?
Vi välkomnar James in i buren.
Vi påar den här delen av avsnittet, som är vårt första avsnitt, som är delvis på engelska. Så grattis alla som får ASMR-rysningar av att höra folk med genuin brittisk dialekt prata engelska. Det kommer bli en jättetrevlig upplevelse för er. Det kommer förmodligen för samma människor bli en mindre trevlig upplevelse av att höra dig och mig prata lite pålagd brittisk engelska.
Det blir mörkt i sina stunder, det kan vi ändå säga. Men vi tog oss igenom det tillsammans. Och förhoppningsvis så får ni ut någonting härligt av det.
Då säger vi välkommen James.
Hej.
Hello.
Hello.
I noticed how I pronounced James with a weird DJ, like James.
Yeah, so
like
many people pronounce my name in strange ways. But I'll accept that one. That one's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. Welcome to Konsten att vara.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell us, who are you?
So my name's James. I'm a curator at ArchDes, which is the National Museum of Architecture and Design in Stockholm.
And what does a curator do?
That's a really good question. A curator cares for things. A curator makes exhibitions. A curator writes books. A curator basically, well, from my position anyway, looks at the world and tries to make it interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I feel quite lucky that I do this job, actually.
How long have you done this? Because you are obviously a British man in Stockholm.
I am.
And how long have you lived here and worked with ArchDes?
I've lived in Stockholm and worked at ArchDes for 3 years almost now. And what a glorious 3 years. I moved here in December 2017, or the winter of 2017. And for about the first 3 months, I didn't see anybody on the streets. No one spoke to me. because it was the middle of winter.
Mm.
And then summer came and I realized that people live here and they're amazing.
People still don't talk to you.
No, thank you for talking to me.
We're so happy that you're here and you want to talk
Swedish
to us.
Swedish people just generally want to speak English with people who speak English?
Yeah, sure, they do. And then because I've been in Stockholm for 3 years, my Swedish is quite good, I'm getting there, and I lack the confidence to speak it, because every time I try to speak Swedish, someone looks at me and goes, you know what, I can speak English better than you, so why don't we just switch to English?
Do they actually say that to you, or is
no,
that your internal voice?
It's all in the eyes. It's all in the eyes.
Yeah, of course, the soul of the Swedish people.
But today we're going to talk about ASMR, which is, like we said before, Gustav, it's something that we've had lots of opinions on when we've talked about it before in this podcast.
Yeah, and the problem with us is that we usually don't know what we're talking about. So we're really glad to have you here because you actually know ASMR, because you had to do a massive job in researching this exhibition. So can you tell us a bit about how the exhibition came about?
It's a really interesting question, and I don't think I've got a simple answer to that, but...
That's okay, it can be a difficult answer.
Okay, here we go. I'll give you a complex answer to
your
question.
Yeah, we'll just speed it up in post.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Great. So, the first question might be, what is ASMR, right?
Mm-hmm.
ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Do you have a translation in Swedish for that?
No,
like, do you know what
tried.
It is?
We tried, but also, at the end of the day, there is no need to translate it because it doesn't make any sense in English either. It's one of these kind of, you know, weird word, like series of words that came about because someone called Jennifer Allen, who is based in the United States, in 2009, was trying to put words to a feeling, basically. And this feeling is, it's many, many things. Sometimes, you know, as an individual, you could watch a work of ASMR, and we can get onto what that might be later, but you might feel nothing. You might feel like a negative response. You might feel like sort of uneasy and unsettled. But a lot of people feel relaxed. It can put them to sleep. It can reduce their stress and anxiety. For some people, they can also get this thing called brain tingles. They can get this feeling of tingles starting on the top of their head and going down their neck and their spine and their arms. And it's described as like amazing. I don't personally get that. So I'm trusting in the discussions. But the term ASMR means nothing, except it stands for now a cultural movement, as well as a feeling, as well as a creative field.
But this feeling, this sensation of feel good or whatever to call it, what do we know what causes that feeling and why some people react to it and some do not?
You have no idea. I mean, I was surprised too. Like, I was doing the research and you start to see that there's like universities and like super clever people around the world who are literally looking at what is happening to the brain and what is happening to the body, and no one quite knows yet. I'm pretty convinced that sometime soon, with people doing these brain scans and these kind of body scans, will the people start to work out what's actually happening? But right now, we're dealing with something that isn't actually physically proven, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of interesting because we're going on like people's, like how people present their own feelings. And I really like that.
I think it's so interesting that it originated on the internet, which is also why
I
think
the internet.
It, you sure do. I do too. maybe that's why it's taken 10 years since the first mention of it online came until we now have an exhibition on the subject that is actually trying to say something about it.
Is trying to say something about it. You know, that's the thing is also, you know, if you type ASMR into YouTube, you will come up with millions of videos because this is where ASMR works, like are mostly are right now. They're on YouTube. And yet, like in this exhibition that we've worked on at ACTES, there is like 30 works, 30 out of 2 million. Mm. So I have not seen every ASMR video, but believe me, I've seen a lot.
Leave it now. What do you mean, not seen it all?
But I've thought about this because I've been one of those people who went to YouTube, typed in ASMR, pressed enter, and didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
And as somebody who just, I don't really have the time to go through it all, and I'm not really into ASMR, or my perception of what ASMR is, which is like women on YouTube whispering with very...
I know, like, we should whisper.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I thought was like, can it's a wide question with lots of like sub questions, but can anybody make an ASMR video? Is there any right or wrong ASMR? Could I just put up a mic in my bedroom and whisper things and that's perfect ASMR? Or just what is...
Can you create ASMR, or is ASMR the feeling that you get from whatever is created?
Exactly, yeah.
It's both.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ooh, yes.
But is there like a perfect ASMR? Is there like is the boss of ASMR and everybody else are the peasants?
No. Like there are some really, really popular ASMR artists like Whispers Red and people who have like massive amounts of subscribers who have got these subscribers on YouTube, for example, because of the work they make, because it resonates with people who watch it. But this is the most amazing thing about ASMR is it's based on these things called triggers, right? And a trigger can be, as you said, whispering, Clara. It can also be tapping objects. It can be typing on a keyboard. It could be playing with slime. It could be, you know, simply sitting in silence, or like, you know, listening to the wind or the rain fall on the window pane. It can be so many things. And it really depends on you as an individual. What triggers you? Mm-hmm. So I would say that exactly the thing that you described, opening YouTube, not knowing where to start, it's a bit of a journey. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a journey. And you might not find something that triggers you for quite a long time. It might be a super obscure trigger. But the thing about ASMR is that it wasn't invented in 2009. It's not like a decade old thing. Certainly like what's been around for a decade has been like how it lives on the internet. And like suddenly we're all aware of it. It has a name. But it like goes back so far. I mean, I remember, can I tell you the first time that I ever felt this?
Please.
Yes, I'm whispering.
Yes,
you see,
you're
already inspired. Yes. I love it.
Of course.
I mean, for me, because like I said, I don't get this kind of tingling feeling, this tingling sensation, but I can get very, very relaxed. And I remember like this one moment. I was in infant school. So I was about 5 or 6 years old. And we had like a class of like 30 people. And I would be sat there, and we were set a task of, I think, cutting cardboard out. So we had cardboard, we had scissors. And it was like cutting things out on lines, you know, like a really simple task. It's like I was in the stupid class, I don't know. But basically, I'm sat there cutting his cardboard
You were out. So bright, and they were so stupid.
I feel like, you know, it's like a task that you don't give. Like, anyway, so I was a guy there cutting out cardboard, and suddenly I stopped. Like, I couldn't do it anymore because the silence of the room and like everybody concentrating on this task, and then the sound of the scissors cutting through the cardboard, that kind of like rhythmic hard cut, I lost it. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't do it. I was so relaxed instantly. I was in this almost a trance, actually. And it took like a lot of effort to kind of, and you know, and I felt like, what was that afterwards? Like, I felt like, is there something wrong with me? Like, am I abnormal? Is this a problem with me? And then, you know, that's the crazy thing is that a lot of people who do experience ASMR remember back to their childhood and experience, whether it is listening to like your mom or your dad or whoever doing something in the kitchen, like the idea of them being present and you're just coming over with this really strong feeling of like safety and comfort and calm. That's ASMR in a way. And so when Jennifer Allen, who came up with the term ASMR, when she got to that point, she did it on the internet, on a message board called steadyhealth.com, where suddenly the internet and the fact that everyone was connected globally, this feeling, people could congregate. There was a community around this feeling. So my feeling is that it's an ancient thing. It goes back a long, long way. It's only recently that it's turned into like an artistic practice almost. And really anyone can do it, anyone. Mm.
That's interesting. I've never thought about it that way, but I can really relate to the feeling of sitting in a classroom with lots of people and like the sound of concentration.
Yeah, exactly.
The silent, like pencils scribbling on paper, just people thinking, and me being a part of that and feeling so calm and so focused and creative and...
It's like a flow.
That has never hit me before. But yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's true. I actually looked through, because Spotify has a lot of ASMR up too. So I tried to, because... usually I get, I don't really like it. I don't like people whispering. That makes me kind of nauseous. So my thought that ASMR was, is just people whispering and eating stuff, which is the worst thing in my life, I mean.
Yeah, that's one genre.
Yeah, exactly. That's one genre. But I realized that I really liked like the sound of a coffee maker, or I liked the sound of someone cutting paper and gluing the paper. So I almost liked the sound of like the...
That, sorry, do that again.
You know exactly which one I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I just wanted to hear it again.
Half a year from now, Gustav will be like huge on YouTube doing glue ASMR sounds with his mouth.
I would
gonna
subscribe.
Gluten-free ASMR. I'm just going to eat gluten-free bread. This could be something.
The crumbs falling down.
It's my time on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
I just thought about, because a lot of people can't fall asleep without listening to a podcast or watching a TV show or listening to music, just having a sound in the background, doesn't matter what it is, just a sound. Is that ASMR as well?
You know, there's a very fine line, right? I think that, I mean, in the exhibition, we have these works by Bob Ross, right? And Bob Ross is such an interesting person to talk about, and because he's super well known for different reasons. Like for people who are maybe a little bit older, they remember that he had this TV show in the United States on PBS called The Joy of Painting. And this TV show was basically half an hour long. He did like, I think, over 300 episodes of him showing you how to paint a painting. And I mean, I did follow a tutorial once and it was a bit of a mess. So I'm not sure whether it was his teaching or my skills, but the idea of him being able to show you a painting, that's like a fairly boring concept. What makes it like extra special is him, right? His personality. He is so calm. He's so gentle. And he sits there and he gives you like positive affirmations. You know, there's like memes across the internet of Bob Ross saying like, paint a little happy tree here. You know, you can paint a tree there. Like, this is your fantasy world. And he was known for like...
That's a brilliant...
Impression.
Yes.
I've watched a lot. But you know, I've sat there and I'm looking at Bob Ross and he's called the godfather of ASMR now, because when he was making this TV show, there was no such word. There was no such word as autonomous sensory meridian response. And yet, when all of his TV episodes were uploaded to YouTube, and he now has like, I think, well over a million subscribers on YouTube, people started to realize that this was ASMR. And when I look at Bob Ross now, I say that, you know, it's not just that he's painting a painting. It's the fact that he, as a person, makes you feel calm. He also makes you feel like it's a safe space. It's a comfortable space. And like that kind of empathy, that's a trigger. So, I mean, I can totally see where podcasts, certain kind of podcasts, can become somehow like ASMR, because if you're listening to someone that you listen to weekly or regularly, you know, you've got a relationship with that person and that makes you feel safe.
Mm. I have that thing with, I usually listen to sitcoms when I try to fall asleep, just so I can hear like the laughter with a like really crisp, because there's no bass in the, in the, like my iPhone, the speakers don't have any bass. So it's just like...
It's like white noise.
Yeah, white noise, but it's people laughing. They have a laugh track, obviously, because there were no people there. We all know it. And also Family
Guy. Wait, what? There were no people there?
I mean, in the studio, probably.
Like on Friends and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. It's like canned laughter.
Yeah, I know this, but it was a terrifying realization, actually.
Yeah.
You see how dark it is if you took the laughter off.
Yeah,
that makes you wonder. Do they pause and hear the laughter, or do they just have the pauses in the script?
Like, that's good question.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But I want to talk about like the elephant in the room, because you mentioned that people, once somebody finally said it on the internet, people were like, wait, this is me. And when you were younger in your classroom and you were like, is there something wrong with me? And for us and for many other people, we connect ASMR with some kind of just sex or fetishization. I can't even say the word. What's it called?
Fetish.
Yeah.
It's quite sensual.
Yeah, but I guess it's like really all the women on YouTube whispering, and I just get the feeling that it's men watching. And
it's such an interesting question.
And Justina, who's also in the room.
Hey.
When we spoke about, Justin has been a guest in this podcast before. Yeah. For those
I listened
who
to
remember,
the episode. Yeah.
Who also works at Arctis, but she told us that when you were putting ads up on Facebook for the exhibition, Facebook classified them as pornography or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what is, where does this prejudice come from, and why are people so afraid of just liking ASMR?
Yeah, there's such, there's a lot to unpack in that. So let's take it, like, the first thing is, like, let's talk about those Facebook ads, because it's kind of interesting. I believe there's, like, a kind of genre of ASMR, which, like, is kind of called visual ASMR, which is kind of like those oddly satisfying things that you see on Instagram. You know, once you see one, the algorithm pushes, like, millions to you, and they're, like, 10 seconds long and they loop. And there's a lot of artists who are working with this. So we actually sort of commissioned this amazing graphic designer called Post New and Irina Strakudzi, based in the Netherlands, to create this graphic identity where we're sort of trying to trigger these sensations visually. And one of these is, I don't know how to describe it, it's like foam going through a kind of spiral glass tube. Mm-hmm. And that is what Facebook rejected. Because it was like something...
So it wasn't the sound, it was the visual.
Visual, right?
Yeah.
So, but it was something long and thin moving forward, right?
We all know what that means.
We do, but like...
Foam in a tube.
I have to say, zero sexual connotations when it was commissioned, yeah.
But when you put it like that, Gustav,
I feel a fool. Like, how did I not see that?
Should have been there. Oh my God.
But you know, it's crazy because this is an art form, and it's terrifying that platforms like Facebook, who are not alone, are algorithmically filtering stuff out like this. That's one thing. The second thing is exactly as you said, that the immediate response that people give to ASMR, if they've never really had a chance to experience it yet or really understand what the community is and what the creative field around it looks like, say, yeah, I'm not really into that kind of thing because it seems a bit like sexualized, I'm not quite sure. And true, most of the very, very famous ASMR artists tend to be women and tend to be young women. And I think that they're... For me, and like in the exhibition, you won't really find, there's a couple of instances where we commissioned works by ASMR artists that, let's say, they stand in front of a camera, and there's definitely a history there to like the sexualization of the webcam and that like long history of the internet, which I think is present, but I don't think it's like the main drive. And yet, when I was putting the exhibition together, and after like all this research I did, I realized that that's not the full picture. And it's just how particularly the media has taken ASMR out. And I have to say, one of the real starting points for this project was looking at like the Ellen DeGeneres Show, was looking at like Jimmy Fallon, and looking at all these kind of very, mostly US-based, very famous talk show hosts mocking ASMR, like mocking it point blank. And I said to myself back then, like, this is not right, because there is a value in this. So let's try to understand what that value is. Mm. And let's try to like also give it a like a space, we'll carve out a bit of a space to actually discuss that value. But, you know, we have one body, one mind, one body, all connected by a central nervous system. One of the early like names that was being sort of thrown about on this message board for what became ASMR was an intention-induced orgasm. And you can understand why the word orgasm was being used, because it's something happening to your body that you're not quite controlling, and it's happening from an external source. But I think it all comes down to intention, right? It's like... You can find something like sexually arousing, but that might not be the intention of the person making the work.
Also, so, I feel like it doesn't have to do with your like bodily organs. Like we talk about food porn, and nobody connects that to jerking off.
No, precisely. And I mean, I'm saying like, if you, to me at least, and this is a bit of a reductive way of putting it, but like I am happy to call ASMR pornography if you say Bob Ross is pornography. And I haven't come across anybody yet who said that.
Bob Ross was actually my favorite part of the exhibition when we came to visit. Just because it's so, well, for me, it feels quite interactive and it's very interesting to see him on the screen painting something, and then right next to it you have the actual painting, which is like the hugest thing ever that you were able to get those.
Yeah. You know, that's also, you know, when you asked earlier what a curator does,
that's what I do.
A curator does a lot of negotiation and emailing and, you know, because all of the Bob Ross paintings that he painted are in Virginia in the United States, hidden. And there was like actually a New York Times documentary where they kind of found them in this warehouse. So I got in touch with Sarah, this amazing person who works there, and I said, like, hi, I want to do an exhibition about ASMR. I don't know whether we can get the paintings. And she was so supportive.
Really?
And they came over to Sweden just before, you know, the pandemic really hit. And not quite sure how we're going to get them back, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. They're not ours. They're still theirs. But, you know, actually being able to see unboxing, like, we should have made an unboxing video of me unboxing the Bob Ross paintings.
Oh, yes. That would have been amazing.
But don't worry, we can restage that.
But with really sensitive microphones so you can hear the tape coming off
the tape, the foam.
Make it an ASMR video.
Yeah. But it was such an amazing experience because, you know, even because it was filmed in the 80s and 90s, it's like kind of bad quality. But to see how vibrant they are, to see, like, actually, he was not a bad painter.
No,
like,
he's not.
I would have that in my wall, in my bedroom. I don't know. But it's so amazing to see, as you said, like, these two things together. Because, you know, like, I feel like we live such digital lives. We interact so much with screens, that it's so interesting to see the kind of an object from that screen in a time before the internet, you know?
It must have been very scary and interesting to create this exhibition because it's the first one in the world on the subject.
Yeah. I mean,
how did you choose what to put in and what to put out?
Yeah, especially how did you choose which of the Bob Ross paintings? Because there are many.
Yeah. Okay,
300 at least.
Yeah. So Sarah sent me a PDF with all of the paintings on them, and they all look the same. Like, they've all got mountains in them, trees.
Mountains and forests.
Mountains, forests,
trees. You can paint this mountain.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them had a house. I thought maybe that one. but then I basically thought to myself, okay, they all look the same. They're all probably the same quality. So there's one from like very early on, one from the middle of his career and one like later in his career. They still look the same. Like, he didn't develop. Like, he really, his artistic style was set from the start. So that was that. But like, also, it's been a bit intimidating in a way to do this exhibition because, as you said, it's the first one. But I didn't really think about that necessarily until it opened. And of course, we had this massive challenge, which is the exhibition was meant to open in April. Of course, we had to close the museum for a couple of months around that time because it was really at a difficult time surrounding the pandemic. So we did a virtual vernissage. And I have to say that which went out, like, which was broadcast live, I was not really super stressed about that. And then the day the museum opened again and the day the first person walked into the exhibition, I was terrified. Like, I was like, I really hope you like it.
But what has the response been?
The response has been kind of amazing. I mean, I have like the fortunate position of being able to also like slip into the exhibition, kind of like hide in the corner on this massive like sausage pillow that we've built.
We'll put a picture up on Instagram.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that
it has to be seen
what the
to be believed.
Pillow looks like.
So I slip in there and you know, the atmosphere in there is very quiet. It's very calm. I've seen the most amazing things. I saw like a couple stretched out on the pillow only last week with like holding hands asleep. And it was like...
Like the couple in Titanic.
Literally the couple in Titanic without the Atlantic Ocean and the sinking ship. So it was much better.
So almost exactly like.
Like Titanic.
Yeah.
Without some crucial elements. But I hear you. And I was, you know, can I photograph you? I mean, I didn't, but like I wanted to like capture the moment. And also like just seeing people chilled in there, you know, like people watching these works. Like some of the ASMR works that we have in there can be like 40 minutes long. So a lot of it is just like going in there, getting comfy. And then often when I see people coming out of the exhibition, they do look calmer. They do look calmer. And that's not a common experience to have at a museum, actually.
No, it's something you really have to... my experience was that I had to focus on it, which is something I usually don't really do when I go to a museum. It's like you look around and you see pretty paintings, and this time I had to, like, I had 20 minutes or something where I just had to listen to the sounds and watch the images.
Yeah.
And that kind of made it a much more intense experience for me, which is why I liked it so much. So great job. You also got some amazing press coverage when you launched the exhibition, which was really exciting, because I don't know if Swedish exhibitions usually get that, but
no,
it was quite major.
It was quite major, exactly. Like, I mean, it sort of started with an article in The Guardian, which, I think that all of the press around it is kind of, what it says to me is that, like, people are taking it more and more seriously, right? People are saying, like, okay, what is this? Because it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think it's interesting to, like, ask the question, why is it getting bigger and bigger? And I have got, like, a lot of kind of quite strong relationships now with ASM artists. And I always ask them, how are people commenting on your videos, right? Because they have a very, very close relationship to their subscribers on YouTube or Twitch or wherever. And you start to hear from them that actually the comments seem to go along the lines of, I have anxiety. I have an anxiety issue. I haven't really been able to talk to anyone about it yet, but this calms me down. This helps me out. Or I have insomnia. Like, it takes me some hours to get to sleep at night and I get really stressed and I'm in bed and it's dark and I've got somewhere to be in the morning. And your videos help to calm me down. So it's clear that, like, a lot of us are self-medicating almost on ASMR, because let's face it, this is a really intense time to be alive for many, many reasons. And, you know, aside from, like, the fact that we're in a pandemic, we are all, you know, lonelier than ever before. We feel connected, right? Yeah, but you know what happens when you get, like, a notification on your phone? It only triggers half your brain. So there's half your brain is like, oh my God, I got a connection with somebody. And the other half of your brain is, like, looking for the eye contact. It's looking for the facial gestures. And it doesn't come. So it's a bit of a deception. So we're all very much in this world, which is... where we kind of tend to feel connected, but also I think we all know that feeling of that, like, pang of, like, this, like, knot in our stomach where we feel like, ah, something's not right. Sometimes it's anxiety, sometimes it's loneliness, sometimes it's about not feeling connected. And ASMR has, like, grown to, I think, help us a little bit with this growing problem. I'm not saying it's a new problem, but I'm saying it's maybe more of a common problem now.
Yeah, probably. But what has ASMR got to do with architecture and design?
Okay, that's a very good question. It's a very good question.
Thanks.
I really believe that ASMR is a creative field more than anything else. I think it's a kind of design that happens to both your body and to your mind. And maybe just to back up a little bit, I'll explain what I mean by design there, because I think this is, like, the challenge of being a curator at a museum of architecture and design, is when people hear architecture, design, they go like, oh my God, I see buildings all the time.
I live in a house, okay?
Exactly, I live in a house, I work in a building. It's like, and actually, I kind of think that is what makes it interesting, because, like, architecture, the rooms we're in are the background to our lives. Mm. And
design is everywhere, and everything is designed everywhere.
Everyone has a connection to it and a relation to it.
Exactly. Yep. Everyone, you know, that's the first amazing thing about it. We all relate to design and architecture. It's like the one thing we can. It's like I get intimidated when I go into, like, an art gallery or an art museum, because I'm like, I don't quite know what to think about this painting. Like, is it good? Yeah, it looks okay. It makes me feel something. But architecture and design practically relate to us. So the internet, to me, is a territory for design. And this is, like, a bit of a radical thing to say, because not everybody thinks along these lines. But when I look at the internet, when I look at, like, how things are put together, of course there are designers behind, like, everything online mostly. But with ASMR, it's like this kind of global design movement that's happening, where people are just, like, saying one day they've got the inspiration to do it. So they pick up something and they start tapping it and they start to build an audience. This is, like, to me, the most amazing thing that has actually ever come out of the internet, because it transcends borders. It transcends language. You know, in South Korea, there's a kind of genre of ASMR called mukbang, which is really more focused on eating and mouth sounds. So you might not enjoy that as much.
But I think mukbang in Sweden is like, it's developed into something else where vloggers do mukbangs, but they eat something while speaking on another subject. Like yeah. they speak about something yeah. while eating, but they don't really eat. They just have food in front of them. And everybody in the comments are like, your food is getting cold. Please eat.
Yeah, mukbang to me is a slightly, it's a genre that I don't connect with as much as other genres of ASMR, but it exists and it's a big deal. And it's so interesting that you say that because I didn't know that, but it's probably coming the other direction now. It's like this like movement that's going all directions. But ASMR, people who make ASMR, they call themselves ASMR artists, right?
And like I think ASM
ASMR T-I-S-T-S, ASMR artists. Mm-hmm. So it's like also a new word. Mm. But you know, if they're calling themselves that, I'm happy to call them that. Mm. And I think it is a form of artistry. Mm. I think it's not only a form of artistry in terms of sometimes you will see these amazing studios that people build, but also like the kind of emotional labor or the care involved in making an ASMR video. It's intense. And I think it's a practice that some people are going to make careers of. Mm. So we should value it.
So tell us about the name of the exhibition.
Okay, so it's called Weird Sensation Feels Good.
Konstig känsla känns bra.
Precis.
Konstig känsla känns bra.
Konstig känsla känns bra. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, det kändes bra.
But you know, we had a massive...
Feels like a bra.
Feels like a bra. I was saying, you know, so basically, I didn't come up with this title. This title comes from the internet. It comes from the message board on steadyhealth.com, which is where the term ASMR was coined. So someone literally just opened a message board with all capital letters, weird sensation feels good, and then was the first person that we know ever recorded to explain an ASMR feeling online. And when we were thinking of a title for the exhibition, we were like, well, that does it.
That'll do. Yeah, yeah, let's stick with it.
That. How did they describe their feeling of ASMR?
They described it, I mean, we should quote it maybe.
I think I have it.
But maybe you can pull it up. They describe their feeling of ASMR. It's actually very interesting to see it because...
Oh, we have it here. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read from my phone?
I can read it because there's also... The grammar is really bad. But I will... But I get this sensation sometimes. There's no real trigger for it. It just happens randomly. It's been happening since I was a kid and I'm 21 now. Some examples of what seems to have caused it to have happened before are as a child while watching a puppet show and when I was being read a story to, as a teenager when a classmate did me a favor and when a friend drew on the palm of my hand with markers. Sometimes it just happens for no reason at all that I can tell, though. I'll just be sitting or doing whatever and it happens. It's like in my head, this by the way is super hard to read because there's no punctuation. But I'm trying to give it some like rhythm. I won't scratch it because the itch helps intensify it. I also like to trace my fingers along my skin because it feels good when experiencing the sensation. Sometimes my eyes will water. When the sensation is over, I will sometimes feel nauseous, but not that bad. Just a slight hint of nausea. What is it? I'm not complaining because I love it, but I'm just wondering what it might be. Help.
I feel like I'm missing out on something. I feel like I'm the dumb one.
I reckon if you really have never felt anything from watching, maybe your trigger is out there somewhere and maybe you just haven't found it yet.
I think my trigger is something as ordinary as just rain on a window.
Mm. Yeah, I think so too.
When it's raining and I'm going to bed, like it can rain at 9 o'clock in the evening and I'm jumping into bed.
That's so interesting.
Just wanting to go to bed because it's raining.
That is
I mean, the ocean totally. Sounds for you.
Yeah.
Ocean sounds that you had to use for a while after you came back from the island.
Yeah. I listened to like 10 hours of ocean sounds because that made me feel at home, which is weird.
See, comforting.
Yeah.
It's all about comfort. Like I always put it this way. Anything that makes us feel comforted, that makes us feel connected, that also helps us to like, I don't know, listen closely, feel closely, feel connected to someone, I think it's a good thing. And although I would not say that ASMR is a replacement for, you know, real world intimacy and all the connections we have around us, it's definitely a substitute. And I think, like anything, in moderation, it's great. And I find it like there's also some weird parts of ASMR. And it becomes quite interesting. Like, so it's like also a journey into weirdness in some directions, which, you know, personally, I love the weird sides of the internet.
Weird sensation feels good.
Weird sensation feels
yes,
good.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, that's great. This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to come and see the exhibition. Really nice. So thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for coming.
Yes.
Thank you.
Why did I have to take that again? Because I was thinking too quick and speaking too slowly. So I said, thank you, James.
But what I want you, to Janice. Say is...
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you so much, James, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Telling us about the exhibition.
Thanks for having me.
Fantastiskt samtal med James.
Ja, jag älskar att prata med honom. Jag tycker att han har en sån underbar typ BBC One-röst. Han precis. Borde göra ASMR-videos där han bara pratar. Ja. Han kan bara läsa en valfri Wikipedia-artikel och jag kommer njuta av det.
Han hade ju en otrolig basig röst som var lite svår att ställa in nivåerna för med våra, kanske lite... gällare toner.
Skränigare.
Jag vill inte säga det. Jag tänkte att jag kan säga det om mig, men jag kanske ska säga om dig.
Jag tycker att jag har en ganska skränig röst ibland.
Okay.
Jag tänkte på den när jag såg mig själv i Robinson, att jag bara, gud, varför skriker jag i alla mina jävla synkar? Men så kom jag på att det kanske är för att jag är så van vid att så här, i tv måste man ha energi. Att alla regissörer allt säger så här, jättebra, fast mer energi. Och så står man och bara, hej, idag ska vi prata om det här! För att man typ automatiskt höjer rösten när man har mer energi.
Jag är aldrig så skränig som när jag sitter här.
Är du det? Eller är du inte det?
Nej, det är jag inte.
Eller nu låter det som att du är skränig till vardags. Jag menar mer att jag tycker inte att du är så skränig här.
Nej, okej. Nej.
Nåväl,
nog om det. Hörrni, alla där ute, gör oss en tjänst och gå in på, om ni inte är i Stockholm, gå in på Arktes hemsida och titta på den virtuella vernissagen av den här utställningen.
Highly recommend.
Det är superspännande att se de här verken. Det är så intressant att återkoppla det med hela den här historien som James berättade. Han pratade ju både om ångest och stress och hur det här kan liksom lugna oss. Och att sätta det i ett publikt forum på det här sättet, som är också... Jag försöker hitta ett svenskt ord för det, men det är kännbart. Mm. Och då tänker jag på för allmänheten.
Det blir konkret på något
det
sätt.
Det blir konkret, och det här är inte en sån här fysförnäm utställning som man kan gå på. Så ska man titta på... Rembrandt var väl en jättedålig referens, för att det tycker väl alla är fint. Men alltså att du ska gå där
jag
och titta på...
Jag vet inte ens
på...
hur Rembrandt-tavla ser ut.
Nej,
jag är ingen museiperson. Jag har alltid känt mig för osmart för att gå på museer. Vilket är konstigt, för att jag ser mig själv som en smart person. Men jag är inte uppvuxen på museer. Jag är liksom inte... Jag tror... Det blir som att gå på operan. Jag bara, varför ska jag göra det när jag kan gå på bio? Typ? Jag är ful kultur. Det relaterar jag till. Men att gå på den här utställningen var skittrevligt, tyckte jag.
Ja, trevligt, spännande. Man får klämma och känna på saker. Man får lyssna på saker. Jag tycker att det var mycket lättare att ta till mig det här än ibland konstutställningar. Så.
Och den finns då alltså på Skeppsholmen på Arkdes. Arkitektur och design står det för. Eller då virtuellt på deras hemsida, deras Facebook. Du kan följa dem på Instagram @arkdesc. Det här är som sagt ett betalt samarbete med Arktis, och vi är superglada att vi fick göra det här med dem.
Utställningen håller på till den 1 november, så att det är bara att pallra er dit, antingen virtuellt eller IRL. Då ligger museet på Skeppsholmen.
Och det är fri entré.
Det är fri entré, vilket också känns otroligt härligt.
Modernt.
Modernt känns det. Men du, Klara, har du något moment of the... Konstig känsla känns bra.
Ja, absolut. Jag kom på det, var det jag skulle säga förut, så det var ju nästan bra att jag inte tappade bort mig i samtalet, för då kan jag ta det som mitt moment of the week / moment of the Arktis. Men när jag låg här på de här stoppade korvarna, och jag hade liksom, jag hade siktat in mig på en tv som var en koreansk kuckelång typ. Och jag vet inte hur den lät, men jag antar att, i och med att man lyssnar genom hörlurar, men jag antar att de att man hör väldigt tydligt när de häller upp vätskan eller kanske smetar ut någon grej på någon bakelse. Men jag låg i alla fall vid skärmen bredvid och tittade på regnet. Eller nej, förlåt, jag lyssnade på regnet, vilket gav mig extrema bara skönhetskänslor. Skönhet? Mm. Alltså, absolut, det kändes väldigt bra. Konstig känsla känns bra. Jag låg och lyssnade på det medan jag låg och väntade på att koreanska cooking-videon skulle bli ledig så att jag kunde gå och lyssna på den. Men det här var en kombo som jag inte hade förväntat mig. Men den var härlig som satan. Att bara lyssna på regn, men se på när någon i ljusa, luftiga miljöer lagar någon märklig persiko efterrätt med massa gelatin. Det var min bästa. Och jag bara fastnade med blicken och öronen bara absorberade det här regnljudet och jag bara nu mår jag bra här på nu min mår, långa stoppade korv.
Nu mår hon. Mm. Jag gick ju in i den här utställningen med förväntan att jag skulle bli ganska äcklad av allting och jag blev ändå förvånansvärt lite äcklad. Det fanns några lite väl ingående viskningar som jag kände att det här är ingenting för mig. Mm. Men jag hade ändå tre favoritmoment. Jag kuppar lite och kör allihopa.
Absolut,
kör. Men det är då de här hundarna som jag berättade om, som alltså sitter i alltså det är så dumt, men de sitter och blir tvättade. Mm. Och så är de är gulliga och så kammar de dem och så klipper de dem och det är de ljuden och det är de hundarna och de skakar och
men
de är gulliga.
Men bara klippljud är ju överlag väldigt härligt. Alltså hår precis. Som klivs.
Exakt, för det är också min andra favoritgrej. Då är det, de har en video som visar hur man satte ihop en tidningssida back in the days. Där det är alltså en människa som sitter och klipper ut allting som hon har fått utskrivet åt sig och så passar hon in det på layouten för sidan. Och det där var ju en ögonöppnare för mig, för att då var det också så här, ASMR är ofta, det kan vara en så här task, det är inriktat på en uppgift, att det är en uppgift man utför och det blir lugn av att uppgiften utförs. Och jag bara, det är ju min personlighet. Alltså jag blir ju inte lugn om jag inte får göra färdigt mina uppgifter.
Undrar om det finns ASMR där någon sitter och fyller i ett Excel-ark.
Ja, 100%. Alltså, och där, om det inte finns, så får varken du eller de som lyssnar ta det ifrån mig, för att nu kommer jag köra på det. Det kommer bli min nya karriär. Och det tredje favoriten är ju Bob Ross-målningarna. Jag tycker det är så otroligt roligt att få gå in i en utställning och ha en referens från min barndom och ha en referens från mina vänner som absolut inte är i någon slags konstkretsar, som så här, ja men kreativa kompisar som bara, det här är skitnice för kreativiteten. Det är så här, man får sitta och kladda lite. Jag bara, gud vad nice. Mm. Och att de hade fått dit de grejerna. De hade den här YouTube-statuetten för 1 miljon subscribers. Någonting. Mm. Ah, det tyckte jag var väldigt meta, att man såg tavlan bredvid och hur den målades samtidigt. Så det var mina tre favoritmoments.
Man hittar sina grejer där. Jag tror legit att det finns någonting för alla. Och även om man inte gillar ASMR, då tycker jag att det är värt att gå dit. Kanske bara för att konstatera att så här, jag gillar verkligen inte ASMR, men vilken häftig grej det är.
Ja.
Som att jag gick och såg någon annan utställning på något annat museum för några år sedan och bara, jag fattar nada. Men vad intressant.
Ja men precis, det känns lite grann som att där har vi verkligen fått utmana oss själva i någonting som vi bara, lol, det här är tuntigt. Mm. Går man dit och tittar på det, förstår vilken otroligt stor kulturell grej det är och får också uppleva det på det här väl sammansatta sättet. Liksom. Mm. Men jag tycker faktiskt, alltså, det var kul att gå och titta och lyssna faktiskt.
Så ett stort tack till Arktis för att ni sponsrar det här avsnittet. Och det här avsnittet vill vi ju dedikera till den som mejlade in och skällde lite på oss. Vi ber om ursäkt och hoppas att det här avsnittet var lite roligare för dig att lyssna på.
Förhoppningsvis. Det skulle göra oss glada. Du får väl mejla igen, om inte annat.
Eller ring och viska på våra telefonsvarare.
Ring och
vad
viska
vet jag.
På våra telefonsvarare. Nej, men du kan jättegärna få spela in lite regn åt oss. Det tycker vi om.
Tack.
Då blir vi glada.
Vi hörs igen om en vecka.
Det gör vi. Tack så mycket.
Hej då.
Hej då. Puss.
Jag tänkte väl att du ville säga det.
Produceras av I Like Radio. I Like Radio.